Yeah, this is Mike Swanson. You're listening to the weekly Wall Street Window podcast. I got Dave Skirica with me from the Bahamas on the phone. We're going to talk about the market a little bit. Before we get to that, Dave, I want to tell you, you know, we just went through tax time in the United States last week. And I know you're lucky enough to live in the Bahamas, so you don't have to worry about income tax forms down there. But the thing that kind of galls me the most about paying taxes, and it isn't necessarily paying them, but it's when you feel like the money is being wasted and the government is really inefficient. And, you know, to give you a quick example of that, when I was doing my taxes, I'd go to the local IRS office and get some tax forms. I went there like 12:30 and they were all closed for an hour for lunch. And I was like, well, this is a real business. They wouldn't be closed like that. And there's a really funny story forward to you a little while ago. I think hopefully you had a chance to read it about the Security Exchange Commission. Apparently, when the whole economy and stock market were just crumbling and crashing in 2008, that they weren't doing much work at the SEC. Instead, apparently, they were just surfing porno sites.
Yeah, that you sent that to me, and I thought that was really funny. That was like that was pretty out there. That basically, I think the thing that made it funny wasn't that, you know, like I think we know a lot of workplaces people waste time on like porno sites, but what was more funny about it was that, yeah, you think that they're the overseers of financial risk and the whatnot, and you know what's going on in the financial markets. The financial markets were collapsing, and it didn't stop. This, you know, people didn't say, oh wow, we got to do a lot more work now. It kind of just they kept watching this stuff despite that.
Well, if you read the story like in detail, it's just crazy. Like a couple of the people doing this were making over $220,000 a year, so these weren't like little guys stuck in cubicles or something, you know. And then one person apparently looked at some porno website 16,000 times in a single month. And we're talking about that. It's like, how do you do something like that? You know, 16,000 times, he must have been, you know, doing this every minute of the day just about.
Yeah, well, it sounded to me like he'd be on it, and then someone probably walked into his office, and he would just get off and then probably reload it up right after the guy walked off, you know? So it's just like, you know, it's and another thing, too, is how stupid can you be to do this? It's one thing to do this at home or if you have your own business on your own computers, but to do this in like a government office on the computers, which are probably, you know, belong to the SEC, like that department, is just insanely stupid, you know?
Well, I mean, the one thing made me think is, what do these people actually do during the daytime if they have that much time free where they can, you know, be playing on the internet like that? Someone looking at this thing 16,000 times in a month, how much work are they doing? And they never gotten in trouble or anything up until now. And the only reason they got trouble is because, you know, if you read the story, you know, someone, I guess, monitored what the people are doing on these computers. But if it wasn't this guy may have just been doing this forever, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think if the financial crisis might not have happened, you might have not had any – no one ever say anything about it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and because, you know, because of what happens, you know? So, well, that's a tax money at work. You know?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, how, I mean, people cry out, you know, for more regulation in the financial system, saying, you know, that's going to fix things or make it so you don't have another financial bubble or something. But
the only thing that will do is, oh, sorry to interrupt you. It looks like the only thing that's going to do is increase the traffic to porn sites.
Yeah.
Not that they need it, you know.
Yeah, well,
if you look at the numbers, porn sites are doing pretty good, you know.
Well, actually, I was reading something recently that said that Facebook has overtaken pornography as far as traffic on the internet goes. That, you know, more a year or two ago,
More people were doing searches on that.
Yeah, more people are looking at pornography than doing anything else on the internet if you just buy raw traffic. But now Facebook has overtaken that, And, you know, this story could just as easily well be about people playing on Facebook than visiting pornography sites.
Yeah, it's actually, if anyone here, and I admit that I am like a Howard Stern fan, if you go to YouTube and type in, say, Howard Stern Facebook, there's a really funny little bit they did on making fun of Facebook, and they talk about that very thing at the beginning of it, that how, like, these social networking sites have overtaken porn on the internet as the most popular sites. You know, his comment on it is, people rather read their own useless crap than do anything else. Like, it's pretty funny, you know.
No, it is. It's funny the way he puts it. But anyway, there's not a whole lot, I don't think, really happening in the stock market this week. We basically saw the market go up a little bit Monday, come back down a little bit, and it is trading up a little bit more now. But to me, I don't really think, you know, it's necessarily a great time to be buying individual stocks as a whole. But do you see anything interesting going on this week?
No, I think my only thing is continued to be that, you know, and I hate to be, like, since I'm so focused on gold, but that when gold has these dips like it just had, and gold's up, by the way, over $14 today, you know, it's about $11.55 as we're talking, is that when you see those dips of a few percent, you should go in and maybe, you know, pick away at some stocks if you don't have a large enough gold position. That's really what I'm looking at here. Like, I'm not really looking at, like, my opinion is, and we both talked about this, that my long positions in the market, I'm not that inclined to sell because I think there's going to be a correction, but it's going to be a small correction, and then we're going to have another leg higher. So I'm not really, like you said, I don't really think there's great opportunities to buy in the market, but I also don't think there's great opportunities to, you know, to be selling here. And I think the one real problem we continue to have with the market, despite what we're seeing in the VIX or the investors' intelligence numbers, you have to wonder how many of these people are, say, talking bearishly, but they're really not invested at all. See what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing, that's the problem with sentiment, is that it's one thing to say something, it's another thing to do something. Like, I remember we talked about this in mid-2008 when the investors' intelligence started showing a lot of bears, but we didn't really believe the numbers. Like, in the summer of 2008, we really said, okay, people are talking bearish, but they're still fully invested. Well, now it's the exact opposite. People are talking bullish, but they really don't own any stocks or really haven't bought anything. And I don't think we can really top out until, like, kind of everyone's in and everyone kind of chases the rally higher. You know, and bond funds in the last year have seen way more inflows than stock funds. And, you know, it's just people, you know, really aren't as bullish as they're saying. My actually trade that I'm really looking at here, and one reason I like gold, is I really think the U.S. dollar is going to start to top soon. And the reason being is, if you look at, like, what's one of the things you look at in the stock rally? You want the stock rally to be broad. You want the advanced decline line to be strong. Well, the same thing goes in the currency market. If the U.S. dollar is rallying, you want all currencies to be weak against it. So it's a broad rally. It's rallying against everything. And if you look at this last move in the U.S. dollar, the last, you know, about week from April, from mid-April, you know, where it's gone from 80 to about 82 this morning, it's the euro. The euro is the only weak currency. Even the pound is held up in the last couple of weeks, and the Canadian dollar is broken out about 1-to-1, and the Australian dollar is, you know, gone up a few set pennies in the last few weeks. And, you know, like I said, even the pound and currencies like that, which had been weak, are holding up. So it's the euro got back down to the low end of this recent range, and that was the only thing weak. So I think the U.S. dollar strength is now becoming really, really narrow, where it's only the euro weak. And if that continues, I think that would be like, you know, when an index is strong near the end of a bull market, and only one or two stocks are driving that index higher, like happened in the late 90s with the tech stocks. And I think that's a sign to me that the U.S. dollar is probably close to topping out, which could definitely mean that, you know, gold sometime in the middle of the year could really, really start, you know, to outperform.
Well, you're actually seeing a little perk up today also in commodity stocks across the board, like energy stocks. There's the XLE energy stock ETF. It's up like 2% today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's obviously another sign. I think another sign, too, is just look at gold and commodities, which are kind of like their own currency against the U.S. dollar. And they've really held up well on this U.S. dollar rally. Like the CCI, the commodities index, is kind of just building a base after its high in December. It actually looks quite good. Like you just got this consolidation going on. It might come. It's actually getting to the upper end of its consolidation range. And of course, gold, same thing. 1160 is about the upper end of its consolidation range as well. And we're only $5 from that. So I think, again, you're looking at these things and they're not really, it's not like 2008 when the dollar was really strong and rallying against everything. It looks more like now we just got euro weakness and all of kind of the anti-dollar plays, meaning other currencies like the Aussie or Canadian dollar or rupee or whatever, they're all holding up really well, and commodities and gold are holding up well. So I just think to me this shows that, again, it's just euro weakness and at some point the dollar will come down. Now, just so you know, one currency I expect to kind of remain weak is the Japanese yen. Because what the Japanese, we've talked about the Japanese are kind of ending their 20-year secular bull market. Well, what did, when the U.S. in the early 80s, when they ended their secular bull market, if you look what happened in 85 after the dollar topped, the U.S. stock market really took off in 85, 86 when the dollar kind of got devalued. And I think that's where Japan is right now, that they're kind of in a half devaluation mode. And they're such a large exporting economy, it's going to help them quite a bit deal.
Well, as we wrap up, do you have any last-minute thoughts?
No, I think just like, I know I hate to be so boring here, but, you know, I'm kind of neutral in the market. I think, you know, like if you get a correction, you want to buy it as a short-term trader. Long-term traders, I actually think anything over 1,200 where we are now, if you're a long-term guy who held through the crash and now is seeing a lot of these stocks come back, I actually think this range, especially over 1,250, is actually you start taking some money off the table. And yeah, and then on these commodity plays and gold plays, yeah, I'd be looking at buying them. And just as a quick note, it could break below it, but as a nice trade, yeah, the euro under 133 or under 134 looks good. You know, you put a stop at 132.50 where the recent low was, and, you know, that might be a short-term long trade as well.
Do you remember what the symbol was for that euro ETF?
The euro ETF, well, the euro's XEU, and the euro ETF is, I'm just going to stock charts right now. As we're speaking,
I mean, I should remember I owned the thing for a short period of time.
Yep. It's sometimes you just forget the tickers. One second, I'm just looking for it here. One second. Yeah, the problem is I just typed in euro and I just see a bunch of like euro, like more stock ETFs, you know? Okay, the ProShares Ultra Euro.
It's FXE.
FXZ and ULE is the pro shares, is the double if you want to do that, right? So, and I don't mind, I don't like those double leverage things, but it's not as bad in a currency because currencies aren't as volatile as stocks. So you don't have the deterioration.
But yeah, if you wanted to make a bet, you could buy, say, FXE and put a stop at 132 and, you know, see what happens basically.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting trade because, you know, obviously the last note too is we're seeing, you know, kind of finally getting to the final ending of this Greek thing. And it looks like the Germans will be on board if they work out terms with the IMF. And of course, if that happens, that's probably your catalyst for a euro rally to 137 or 138, maybe even as high as 140, you know, if that occurs.
Well, that'll be something for people to think about. And well, thanks for taking the time to talk to everybody. And
probably again, I gotta go look at some porn now.
Okay. Well, if you can contact this guy at the SEC, he might have some sites he can recommend.
Yeah, this accountant who visits 16,000 times a month.
Talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.